your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Excited to be joined today with Samantha Collins, CMO of Bang. And for everybody who's tuning in right now, Bang delivers sensory experiences to consumers through its extensive portfolio of over 50 MasterChef-created cannabis, CBD, and terpene products, including gourmet chocolates, pre-rolls, CBD, and hemp sticks. Sam, awesome to have you on.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. Well, Sam, I was really excited to talk to you today, mainly because of your deep past experience across, you know, the spirits category and wine. And I thought that'd be a really good talk track, especially, you know, for you, you know, obviously being the CMO of Bang and into the cannabis space. But, you know, we'd love to talk really on what it was that made you kind of make that transition, you know, from the spirit and wine category to cannabis, because I think a lot of people who are in your shoes are starting to do the same thing now.
Right. So I grew up in Northern California, and I think in Northern California, we're famous for a couple of things, but among them are wine and cannabis, right? So both of those were sort of part of the culture where I grew up. And it was so pervasive that cannabis never had a big stigma around it among even the parents where I grew up. It was something that was acceptable. Mm-hmm. As the industry evolved and the first, you know, waves of legalization started happening, I had my eye on the industry and just watching what was going on and walking in dispensaries now and then and just seeing the evolution of the products. And I was fascinated as a marketer because ultimately at that point in the early days, you know, a decade ago, we were taking essentially a commodity and starting to create branded products, which was fascinating to watch. And also I was fascinated as a consumer, you know, someone that enjoyed cannabis and enjoys cannabis, to see how the level of sophistication and production was going, et cetera. So I'd always been just watching the industry and then meanwhile honing my skills in the alcohol industry. And that is a super fun industry as well, really interesting, but it has such a deep, deep history, alcohol, that it's somewhat restrictive in what you can and cannot do, because obviously for the most part, it comes in a bottle. So that's sort of the format that you're working with. Whereas cannabis can come in any package you could imagine, which is a much more liberating thing as a creative person. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I had been working for a big company called Treasury Wine Estates, one of the largest wine companies in the world. And I got a phone call from a recruiter about Bang. And one of the few brands in the cannabis space that I really was familiar with, I knew, you know, they're one of the original brands. And I thought, geez, what an opportunity to come in and work in cannabis in a, you know, a time when it's still growing so exponentially. And secondly, work on a brand that already has some consumer awareness and a bit of legacy and to help them usher in their next decade. So that was really what got me excited and helped me make the switch.
I love it. Well, I was looking at some data that MRI had published before this call, and I wanted to go through some of these numbers with you because it's very interesting. But basically, you know, what I found in this data was that cannabis consumers significantly over-index in the wine and alcohol category. And the data basically extrapolated that there's 14 million cannabis consumers have said that they enjoy drinking beer, wine, and spirits. 31% are more likely to drink wine with dinner. 51% are more likely to spend more on a quality bottle of wine. And, you know, I'm just curious from you, coming from both worlds now, like, how would you describe the relationship between, let's just say, alcohol and cannabis consumers? And how do you think the industries both compete and complement one another?
Ooh, good question.
It's a loaded question, but I feel like you're coming from both worlds and you've, you know, really had the experience across, you know, not just spirits, but wine and now with cannabis. And, you know, it's just interesting because there is a lot of overlap here.
Yeah. So what I have noticed, and I don't have data in front of me to support this, but I'll tell you my qualitative, my qualitative gut feeling, if you will, is that it is very occasion based, right? So whereas maybe there's someone who drinks a glass of Chardonnay every night with their dinner or, you know, after they put their kids to bed, they may use Chardonnay for that purpose and then maybe cannabis for sleep or cannabis for, you know, anxiety or something else. So I feel that alcohol and cannabis, or wine specifically, and cannabis can certainly both exist in the same consumer's life very easily because they satisfy right now different occasions. Mm-hmm. I also think that, you know, for many people that are coming into the cannabis space that maybe haven't been here for a while or have only tried it when they were younger and they're coming back, there has been so much progress made in consistency of dose and consistency of experience that it's something that consumers are starting to feel more comfortable using in an expanding range of occasions, right? So for me, growing up, I, you know, used cannabis. I still enjoy cannabis, but I was very much a, this is a me watching a movie kind of thing, like a more solo occasion or a me plus one person occasion. Whereas now I feel the consistency of dosing, I love the micro dose, like just breaking off a little thing, chocolate and going to a party. And I feel really comfortable in a much bigger social situation than I did when I was younger, because I felt like anytime I got high, it just got me so high.
And high and anxious, right?
Yes, right. So I think that the tremendous progress that cannabis manufacturers have made with consistency of dose and perfecting the microdose, and then now speed of what's the word I'm looking for? Speed of feeling it in terms of edibles. All of these are things that will expand the number of occasions for which consumers are going to consume it. And I tend to think of alcohol and cannabis and coffee for that matter, any of these things, as a marketer, I think of the occasions by which they're using them, not just the demographic, but what is the occasion we're satisfying?
It makes a lot of sense. So thinking about occasions, you know, obviously we have a lot of occasions that are coming up around the holidays, you know, both, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. Do you guys have any like big plans on any upcoming pushes around the holidays? Like, is that a big time of the year for you guys? You talk to us about that.
Yes. So it's a very big time of the year for us. It's a very big time of the year for chocolate, period. And then cannabis chocolate, even more so. So I think that December is like far and away the largest selling month for cannabis chocolate all year long. So what we have in store right now is we have some kind of fun in-store promotions that we're doing, partnering with a group of artists called the Soul Assassins. They're like a really interesting collective in Los Angeles, and they've made some really fun co-branded merchandise with us that we're using for bud tender incentives. But we also are reintroducing one of our flavors that was an old favorite that's been kind of gone for a while, and we decided to bring it back for holidays, which is our ice chocolate, which is a peppermint chocolate. So that will now be available in Canada, Nevada, and California for these holidays. So I think in California, we are selling that right now, if I'm correct. So if not right now, then it'll be available next week.
Cool. Yeah. Now you guys have a ton of different products. You guys have obviously, you know, gourmet chocolate products, you have pre-rolls, you all have hemp sticks. What is the approach that you take to, you know, each of these products? Like, how do you balance, you know, your product marketing strategies?
Yeah. So interestingly, when I joined the company almost 2 years ago, it was when everyone was investing in cannabis. So the capital markets were quite loose and excited and ready to invest. And that was when we started really pushing out new products at a rapid pace. And many of those were in development before I even came on, but they launched, you know, either right before I came on or while I was here. What we found was after the vaping crisis, most of the cannabis companies were very hurt by that in terms of investment, even when you didn't sell vape. So we weren't a vape company, but the investment communities kind of seized up because it was a little bit of a nerve-wracking time for them. So we decided to really think about our offerings and do a bit of SKU rationalization and then double down on what we knew was super successful and rationalize basically the ones that were maybe slower or we didn't think there was a really well thought out consumer demand for. So right now we're pretty focused on, most importantly, our THC chocolate. That is, you know, where we started. It's what we're most known for, and it's certainly where we're most successful. That's where we put the majority of our focus. But we also see that we have a really loyal consumer for the pre-rolled, the hemp pre-rolled cigarettes. So those continue to sell quite well through wholesale and then also on our website. And we're sort of looking at the rest of our hemp-derived CBD business and trying to decide, you know, which of the SKUs are going to be the winners and which ones we don't necessarily want to keep competing in. CBD, as you probably know, has become an incredibly competitive space. And,
yes,
you know, it's quite expensive and competitive space to compete in. So we're trying to decide where to go with some of those SKUs.
Yeah, I mean, that you basically took the question right out of my mouth. I mean, I think the one thing that we've seen, especially on our side too, we work with a ton of clients in so many different categories, you know, from CBD to cannabis. But with the pandemic, especially this year, there's just been such an influx of people who are looking, you know, at trying, you know, more holistic products that have CBD. And yes, it's become very, very, very crowded. And so I was going to ask you, you know, from a brand perspective, like, how do you stand out, drive awareness, and really build loyalty, you know, with customers where it's extremely noisy?
Yeah, it's not easy, particularly in CBD, I think. So I'll answer that first from a THC perspective, because that's, like I said, where we're putting most of our focus. So when I came on, we did some, I guess you'd say, surveying of consumers and bud tenders and people that knew the brand and asked them sort of what they thought it stood for and what it was about. And we also took a look at what was happening in the THC space more broadly, where everyone had gone to this very medical, somewhat clinical look and very effect-based marketing. So, you know, this is for sleep, this is for creation, this is for whatever it was. And we decided that after what we learned from the people that we spoke to, that we wanted to sort of double down on making cannabis fun again and not just medicine, but making it really like, hey, it's okay to want to use this to get high and to go hiking or have friends over and serve it, you know, with dinner or whatever it is. So we, when we sort of revisited that, we redid our brand essence, our brand positioning, and ended up having an entire packaging refresh, which you can see if you scroll back on our Instagram feed, you can kind of see where we were to where we are now.
Yeah.
It's a big difference in terms of the way we look on shelf, but it really came down to holding true to the brand essence that we were hearing from our consumers and from our bud tenders and who we were. So I think that when you say standing out, it's important to make sure when you're trying to stand out that you really understand your brand essence first and that you are reflecting that in your packaging, right? The only dollar that we spend that we can be sure that a consumer sees is the dollar that you spend on packaging. Because that's, if they see it on the shelf, then they're definitely going to see it. Something you put up on Instagram, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Something you buy a billboard, maybe they will, maybe they won't. So to me, getting your packaging right and getting that essence right is the critical first step.
Sure.
Kind of went away from where you were going there. But then I think once you have that nailed, it's much easier to stand out because what you're saying or what you're communicating actually connects more directly to your brand essence. And so consumers, even if they don't consciously know it, they see that there's not a dissonance there, that it all flows.
I wanted to, you know, pick your brain a little bit as far as, you know, compliance and regulation. So I know that you guys have expanded the brand into, I think, four new states, and you're also in multiple countries.
Right.
So I'm just curious for you, as you're kind of, you know, global, if you will, you know, how have you really stayed compliant with local markets and what's your approach to regulation, or even giving some folks who are listening in like some tips on how they could stay compliant?
Right. So it's an ongoing challenge. I think that the way that you and I became connected is that I was very interested in what you all are doing in terms of helping with that. But compliance is a huge time suck, and it's an ongoing challenge. So every state is different, every country is different, and every state changes pretty regularly as well. So right now, the way that we're dealing with it is just constant reviewing of what we're doing, but it's a huge time suck, like I said. And then we are fortunate that where we license our branding in other states, most of the people that we license it to are very careful and compliant. And so we work with them to make sure that they're following their state regulations, but we lean on them heavily to know those. And that's, you know, sometimes a little nerve-wracking, as you can imagine.
Yes, definitely. And I think, you know, obviously this week is election day, election week, and there's a lot of measures that are on the ballot with other states that are going to be hopefully legalizing recreational, some states that are legalizing both, some that are legalizing medical. And I think it's definitely, there's a lot of movement for cannabis happening today, which is great.
It is.
And I think great industry overall. Any bets maybe coming out of the election that you think we're going to get? Any insight into the future?
Well, I mean, I'm an optimist. I think that it's literally a matter of less than years, I think months, before we see full federal legalization. I just think it's probably one of the few bipartisan issues that we have anymore, where there's support on both sides of the aisles. And frankly, it would create a lot of jobs and it would help a lot of people. So I think as more and more legislators realize that, the barriers fall.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a rising tide that's happening right now. And, you know, once that tide starts rising fast, it's, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Right.
So, I think across the board, a lot of good stuff that is taking place. And then, you know, just curious for you, like, obviously, we're kind of getting towards the end of the year now. And, you know, just wondering if you had any big plans for 2021, which is only 2 months away, whether that's expansion or new products or, you know, anything that Bang is going to be coming out with.
Yes, we do. So we are now, as of last month, officially into our second decade of business. So we're in 10 years in business, and we're really excited to expand Bang a bit beyond chocolate. So we have been looking at a couple of other categories, not gummies, because there's just too many people in gummies. But we have been very interested in going into some other edible categories, as well as looking at some of these more fast-acting nanotechnologies where you can take an edible and it hits in 3 minutes instead of 30 minutes. So I predict in the next, you know, 6 to 9 months, you will see Bang coming out with some really exciting, fun, delicious, above all, new products.
Awesome. Well, I love it. Well, Sam, listen, it was really great having you on the show and really fantastic. Just kind of providing your background and experience from the, you know, spirits category and the wine category and now cannabis, and, you know, keep doing all the great things that you're doing at Bang. And it was a pleasure having you on. Sam Collins, CMO of Bang.
Thank you, Jeff. It was a pleasure being on, and good luck with what you all are doing. And thank you for having me.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.